Today's reading is from various passages from Philippians. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Further, my brothers and sisters, to whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. Thanks be to God.
What gives you joy? What steals your joy? We can have increasing joy in life's journey. The joy I'm speaking about today is not just about feeling better, it's about being better and standing strong. So today we're focusing on how to have increasing joy. We've just read words from Paul's letter to the Christians at Philippi. Paul's love for and joy in these Philippians shine through. He's encouraging them to be joyful and to rejoice. Paul had many situations in his life that could steal his joy. Yet his ability to rejoice, despite many and serious challenges, is remarkable. It's worth looking at his backstory to find out how he did it. Just as he was starting the church in Philippi, he and his co-worker Silas were falsely accused and faced with an angry, violent mob, for their accusers turned the crowd against them. Paul and Silas were dragged before the local magistrates, who tore clothes off them, hugely embarrassing, and had them beaten many times with rods. So battered, bruised, and bleeding, they're thrown into prison. No health and safety there. The jailer is ordered to guard them securely, so he binds their feet with stocks and puts them in the inmost part of the prison. A solid night's sleep with feet stuck in stocks would be impossible, quite apart from the pain of their wounds and lack of clothes to cover them. Where was God? Why had he allowed this injustice? Were they discouraged and down? Did fear flood into their hearts? Maybe they struggled a little. But at midnight, the other prisoners were woken by an unusual noise. Aristarchus, who's a bit deaf, asks, "What's that noise?" Gaius replies, "It's singing." "Oh no, we've now got lunatic prisoners here. How can anyone sing in this hellhole?" But all the prisoners listened. Paul and Silas are praying and singing praise to God, rejoicing in the Lord, despite their pain and shame and the uncertainty of their fate. Then God showed up dramatically for them. You can read more in Acts chapter 16. Was Paul more careful after that not to offend those with power and influence? Not at all. Elsewhere, Paul writes about his many troubles, hardships, and distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and riots, hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, and how he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 to 10. Paul's joyful letter to the Philippians, which we read from, is written when he was in jail again. It's clear he's full of gratitude and delight in his spiritual family in Philippi. He always prays with joy for them. He loves and longs for them, thinks of them as his joy and crown. He wrote about being poured out like a drink offering, speaking of his sufferings, probably especially the times he'd ended up bleeding from his wounds. He was willing to suffer a great deal because of his desire to bring God's love and joy to others and to strengthen new believers in their faith. Despite this, he says, "I'm glad and rejoice." And he encourages them to be glad and rejoice too. My guess is that Paul's joy in his journey increased despite his many challenges. But how did he do it? These words of C.S. Lewis give us a clue. If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to, or even into, the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, hand out to anyone. They are a great fountain of energy and beauty, spurting up at the very center of reality. If you get close to it, the spray will wet you. If you are not, you will remain dry. How can we come closer to God? As C.S. Lewis indicates, we don't seek God to get joy. But as we seek God with all our hearts, when we find him and stay close, we will discover increasingly this great fountain of energy and beauty, and we will get wet. God's joy, peace, and love will touch us. In his presence is fullness of joy. As King David wrote in Psalm 16, "In God's presence is fullness of joy. In his right hand there are pleasures forever. Paul would know this psalm, and I think would agree with these other words of King David in it. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. As we draw close to God and stay close by trusting him and going his way, we will discover increasingly the joy and delight of being with our Heavenly Father, who promises to hold us by the hand, to never fail us or forsake us, but to stay with us and help and guide us through life. I think that one of the ways in which Paul learnt to live close to God was that he learnt to rejoice in the Lord always. Think of Paul and Silas praising God in jail. As they lifted God up and focused on him instead of on their pain and distress, God drew near to them and lifted them up. They became more aware of his presence and nearness, and they were able to know more of the joy of being in his presence. As they drew near to God, he drew near to them. This is a truth which James wrote of in his letter, James 4:8. It's the same for us. As we focus on God with all our hearts, seek him, pray to him, praise him, and rejoice in him, we tend to draw nearer to him. As we do this, he draws near to us. As we focus on his light and joy and rejoice in them, we become brighter and more joyful. This is increased when we rejoice in the Lord with others whose hearts are turned to him. One of the things that really strikes me about those who are being persecuted is how much time they spend rejoicing together and being together. And they will take great risks to have fellowship and to rejoice. If we focus on darkness and all that is miserable, we will become more dark and miserable ourselves. Paul urged the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. I believe this was not so much about feeling better, but being better and standing strong. The Greek word translated rejoice means keep rejoicing. Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 1. He repeats it in chapter 4, verse 4. And as it's so super important, in the same verse, he says, I will say it again, keep rejoicing. These words are for us too. We're all at very different stages of faith in God. Some of us may be drawn to God or seeking him, but don't feel we know him yet. Others of us have known God for many years and know the joy of being in his presence and rejoicing in him. But Paul exhorts us to keep rejoicing always, constantly, to do it all we can so we continually have that joy bubbling up within us. And not to be discouraged by trials, but to just rejoice all the more, use trials and difficulties as an opportunity to rejoice and to draw near to God and to grow. I want to tell you about my experience of rejoicing in the Lord before I even came to know Jesus. I just left school. I was living with my parents, and my brothers and sisters were away from home. I felt lost and low. I used to go for long walks by myself, and to cheer myself up, I'd sing hymns I'd sung at school, even though I didn't believe the hymns or know God. Somehow, singing words to God and praises to Him helped me. I was rejoicing in the Lord, even though I didn't know Him or believe in Him. It is, of course, so much better rejoicing in Jesus once we understand what He's done for us, taking the blame for our sins, offering to give us new life, His life and goodness. Being united to Him. But although we know these things, sometimes we can lose the joy of our salvation and wander from God's ways, even in quite small things. Lies can creep into our hearts, and we don't live and enjoy the fullness of all that God has for us. Rejoicing in Jesus doesn't mean we can't and won't be sad or have pain, suffering, and loss. We don't have to pretend to be joyful, and at times we don't feel joy. In fact, I suggest that at these times when it's especially helpful to keep rejoicing in Jesus. We don't have to feel like rejoicing to rejoice. We just need to choose to do it. We can begin by thanking and praising God, praising Him for who He is and what He's done. And as we do this, we're focusing on truth and reality. God is more real than this world. He is the cause of it and the source of it. And the reality, His reality, the truth of who He is and what He's done and all the things He's still to do. Focusing on these will really strengthen us and help us. There's many ways to draw near to God. Spending time with Him, talking, rejoicing. If we don't know Him, it's good to talk to Him. Ask Him to make Himself known. Spending time with those who know Him also really helps. And really digging into the Bible more and more, that's so helpful for us. And of course we know that. But are we doing it? How much of a priority is it? It's difficult, if not impossible, to live close to God and enjoy His presence continually when we're doing things in our lives that are contrary to what He wants. By contrast, Paul was totally sold out for Jesus. He said, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." So I believe that the process of increasing our joy involves not just feeling better, but being better, getting closer to God and His ways. And as we do this, we will be able to stand stronger and rejoice whatever trials may come to us in the future. We will be overcomers and able to fulfill God's purpose for our lives more easily. Frank Lobach was an American missionary in Indonesia. He was surrounded by people whose culture and language he didn't understand. He was desperately lonely. Consequently, he talked a lot to God and sought God with all his heart, determining constantly to live only for God, to do only what God wanted, to say only what he wanted said. On the 3rd of January 1930, he wrote of the previous year, despite his trials, it had been the finest of his life. And he was full of hope that the new year would be even better, all entirely due to God's kindness. He wrote, there has been a succession of marvelous experiences of the friendship of God. I feel as I look back over the year that it would have been impossible to have held much more without breaking with sheer joy. He, like King David and Paul, and many others over the centuries, all discovered that the joy of the Lord was their strength. Will you increase in joy, being better and standing stronger by coming closer to God? Discovering and reminding yourself of all the wonderful things he is and has done, and learning to rejoice in him more and more. I encourage you to think of one thing that you could do to live closer to God this week, and or move towards rejoicing in the Lord always. Maybe have a regular time every day to rejoice in God. I've started doing this and I've found it really helps. The rejoicing spills over into my life and into the rest of the day. Is there anything you need to stop doing or start doing that you know is grieving God's heart? You can begin today, or maybe make an appointment in your diary to sort things out. There are things I need to sort out and do better. Maybe you can spend more time rejoicing with or spending time with other Christians to seek God together. I know of a man who spends significant chunks of time with other people, just drawing near to God, worshipping him, rejoicing in him. He will spend hours with friends, not with any agenda, but just drawing near to God. And it has totally changed his life. May the joy of the Lord be your strength more and more too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in this moment of silence, please speak to us. Show us if there is anything which is hindering us from coming closer to you, hindering us from knowing you, stealing our joy, any lies or things we're doing. And show us too how we can change and how we can rejoice more and more in you. Speak to us now in this moment of silence. Thank you, Father. Help us, we pray, to know more and more the depth of your love and your joy and your peace, and to become stronger and more able to fulfill the wonderful purposes that you have for our lives, to bring your love and joy to others. Amen.